After 25 weeks, did you count them? After 25 weeks, we conclude today our series on Genesis. We looked at many of the beginnings and origins and the creations of humanity and civilizations, and I'm giving thanks to God today for many of you who read along with us. Some of you who read along with us the chapters as we were doing it, even if we didn't read all 50 chapters in worship, some of our lay readers and liturgists are right now giving thanks to God that we didn't read all 50 chapters in worship, so I know. And I'm particularly giving thanks to God for the artist. Have you noticed each cover on the bulletin has been an artistic representation that someone in our congregation has made of something from that passage? If you'd like to see those up close out in the lobby, you can look at each and every one. The names of who some of the artists were are in the bulletin, but here's a full image of all of those artistic creation. Incredible. Your artistic work. I give thanks to God for how you are making the words of God and the art of God come to life. So our last scene from Genesis is the burying of the great patriarch Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, the grandson of Abraham, heel grabber in his own right, who's passed from life to the ancestors. His sons, his daughters, generations gathered around to lay him to rest. And the biblical witness takes care to let us know that there was fear from the brothers that Joseph might still be holding a grudge. Does this sound like any family conflict you've ever heard in your own life? As soon as there is more than one human gathered in more than one space, there's conflict and there's concern to be had. Whether it's sibling rivalry or marital spat, familial cold shoulder or tiff between friends, the row that happens between neighbors, you and I know something about struggles and about skirmishes. When we look around, this origin story, it feels like our story. It feels like international leaders who can't get along and who face one another down through social media, except there's nuclear weapons involved in this story. It seems like celebrities and others who have forgotten the most common respect for one another's bodies begins with consent in the way that we treat one another. Division that leads to avoidance and evasion rather than reconciliation and resolution. Add into the mix that this just tends to be a season when it's easy for us to get a little bent out of shape. You and I, we seem to have a hope for how this season will go. We have a little nostalgia for how it's always been around whatever holiday we hold most dear. Perhaps it was a little bit like that when the brothers gathered around their father's graveside. But we know this was not the last word. The last word seems to have belonged to the difficult conversation of recalling that difficult wish for peace, processing grief and spat in order to move on. You might have intended this for harm, but God meant it for good. Moving towards health calls us, you and me, the same it did as Joseph and his brothers, towards resolution and moving towards hope. It was a clear November afternoon about 2 weeks ago in a London Grove Friends meeting house cemetery when the conversation happened among a family where I was burying their loved one. It was at the cave of Joseph's family where it happened for them. Sometimes it happens at the Thanksgiving table after the children have gone out to play and someone else is washing the dishes. Thanks be to God. Someone else is washing the dishes and the chairs got pushed back a little bit. And you can finally have the conversation you've been wanting to have. And you garner a little bit of courage to talk about what matters most. Those are the places, maybe in the cemetery and maybe at the cave and maybe at the Thanksgiving table, where the hard conversations are had. Recent studies show that over half of us with siblings define our relationships as close. We want that in our lives. Those awkward cemetery talks or cleared table speculations or the confessions we have while holding the doorknob as we're walking out the door are what we need to move beyond the brokenness. It feels right to remind us that in multiple native traditions, the burying of the tomahawk or the hatchet was actually part of a ceremony, a peace ceremony to reestablish friendship, sometimes to reestablish trade as well. The first mention of this happens, at least written in English, happens in 1680. The hatchet was described as the principal weapon. Think about that a moment. The principal weapon, and it was more binding than the articles of peace to bury that hatchet together in the ground. Burying the hatchet has come into our vernacular as a way to move beyond conflict and towards peace. On this weekend, some of us have spent a little time with family, and it would probably be easier to point towards the things that caused us a little bit of strife than it would be to look for peace. I have to pair this with Ephesians, Karen read for us. You see, Paul's letter to Ephesus was specific, and it was applicable. The church in Ephesus needed those precise and detailed instructions to address exactly what rocked their world together. But it works for us, too. It's exactly what rocks our lives together as well. We need those reminders as well. You and I needed it when we gathered at the table and somebody forgot where we worked, even though we've told them half a dozen times where we've worked, and it just irritated us again. We needed it again when we couldn't see eye to eye with someone in setting the Christmas traditions because we wanted to try something new. And we were reminded, but we always do it this way. For the last 47 years, we've done it this way. We need those reminders when we feel as though our very sanity is being challenged by others. Making its way around social media right now, like Paul's letter to Ephesus made its way around the Mediterranean Sea, is a similar kind of letter. I have the sense that if there was social media back in the day of the biblical witness, Ephesus would have, the letter to Ephesians would have made around Facebook a little bit like this. This is Bishop Rickle of the Episcopal Church of Olympia, Washington's 10 rules for resolving conflict. Imagine it a little bit like the letter to the church at Ephesus. It includes some insights like this. If you have a trouble with me, the bishop writes, come to me personally. It's radical kind of stuff. And he says this, that which is confidential unless harm is involved. You see, my friends, those things which were applicable to Ephesians are applicable to Olympia, Washington, and are applicable to West Grove, PA. That kind of burying the hatchet and letting our pride and our fear and our resentment and our feelings die are part of our faith formation. This kind of a Christ the King Sunday reminds us again, because we needed to be reminded, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You and I are called to live the kind of faith lives that have Jesus at the center, reconciling us in ways that seem beyond our understanding, and yet move us closer to God's way. So some people have been known to ask, why is it that we're looking for God's kingdom here on earth? Why is it that we're not waiting till then for God's kingdom? Our biblical witness glimpses that God's way breaks through and gives us possibility. We call that hope, that it might be here and now, that it might be different than we see each and every day. The reign of Christ is the reminder that just because we feel stuck and we can't imagine a way for it to be fixed or mended or solved doesn't mean that there isn't a way in Christ's reign. So how is it that people are working it out right now? I found the most interesting thing with this burying the hatchet. Maybe some of y'all know this. In Sussex County, Delaware, some of you know Delaware better than I do, 2 days after the elections, the returns are read. And the chairs of the parties, this is great, symbolically make peace by burying the hatchet together on return day. Now, this comes after seeing who can throw the hatchet the farthest on return day. But moving beyond the divisiveness of who won, at least symbolically, and who lost, to work together burying the hatchet. But my guess is most of you aren't using hatchets as your weapons of war. The implements that divide us from our brothers and our sisters, the tools that cause our divisions, probably aren't hatchets for most of us. As a society, there probably are automatic guns and probably are improvised bombs that are predominantly killing the innocents among us, predominantly children in schools and people at worship and people of color. Burying our hatchets might be a world in which we're called to peace and justice on this Christ the King Sunday. But personally, I think we're called to something else as well. We also have, you and I, some other kinds of weapons to bury. My hunch is that most of us hold on to our need to be right stronger than our need to be grace-filled. And we need to bury our unkind judgments more than we need to hold on to our need to wear it above our heads. We probably need to bury our cruelties and our desire to wear the term Christian across our chest. as opposed to kind. We've got a bit of work to do. Here, you and I, we need to let them die as well. So as the Christian year comes to an end, as we end the book of Genesis, we stand on this precipice with the whole family of God waiting for what comes next, waiting for Advent. At the end of the book of Genesis, you and I know that Exodus, remember your memorization, Exodus comes right next, and there's a Pharaoh who forgets that Joseph did this great work in Egypt. But we also know for each one of us, there's something that comes next. Will we bury our weapons of war? Will we move towards lasting peace, seeking kingdom ways? Or will we say, we can try again some other time? There'll be another time for us to try. So for you, for me, with dreams of mashed potatoes still floating in our minds, with gingerbread cookies not far off, I pray for peace, the lasting kind, the peace of full resolution, or at the very least, burying that of which has come to pass. May the Prince of Peace, the Christ the King, reign in your heart in such a way that the weapons you wish to hold will be a thing of the past, that Christ can use you for the kingdom to come here on earth. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.